friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all over you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
Alright, everybody, welcome back to My Perfect Romance.
Hello, hello.
Hey, so I'm kind of excited. We're about to put on some red swim trunks and eat bowls of apricots.
Yum, and some peaches too.
God, the peaches.
You can have my peaches, actually.
Oh my God.
Lisa's gonna eat my peaches.
We're diving into Andre Osterman's book, Call Me By Your Name. Which also was made into a movie. So that's, I mean, some people may be familiar with this. It's a story, though, that asks the ultimate question. Is it better to keep silent or speak your truth? So grab your Walkmans. We're going back to 1983 to Northern Italy to find out if Elio and Oliver's connection is just a summer fling or
if it's the real thing.
Soul deep collision. Peaches.
Peaches.
Was written by Andre Osterman, 2007. And the film starring Timothy Chalamet and Emile Elio and as Elio and Armie Hammer as Oliver was filmed in 2017. And here's a couple of fun little facts about this movie. Andre Osterman wrote the novel in just 3 months.
Man, that's quick.
Yeah, he was inspired to write it because his own planned vacation to a Mediterranean villa fell through. He decided to take a fictional vacation through his writing instead.
Well, that's kind of fun. Well,
He really took a vacation
there.
He has a good imagination.
As you will see.
And the concept of calling someone by your name was inspired by the idea of total identification and the desire to dissolve the boundaries between two people in love.
Wow. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And he does that, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Italy. Actually, when in Rome.
And he actually, Osterman wrote a sequel called To Find Me, which released in 2019 and explores the lives of Elio and Oliver and Elio's father years after the original Summer in Italy.
Interesting. So that came out 2 years after the movie. And I wonder if the movie really popularizes the book because it leaves you on a lot of... The movie leaves you on a major cliffhanger.
Yes.
But I think the first book doesn't so much. No. Or the book, yeah.
Well, it does at this... You know, there's a gap and then they put a... They dangle
yes.
a potential option. But yes. Let's get back to how these boys first meet each other.
Tell us.
I will tell you. So Oliver is an American who has come over and is staying with Elio's family in Italy for the summer. And this is something that Elio's family has always done. They've always hosted someone during the summer who's like finishing up their doctoral thesis or working on something. Elio's family is very intellectual. They have these dinners almost all the time where important people come. His dad's a professor. And so having Oliver there finishing up he's finalizing a book on, I think, Herculitis or I don't even know. But he's finalizing a book.
It sounds like a disease.
It does sound like a disease. I can make anything sound like a disease.
Yeah, and if you add itis,
it's you don't want it. It's bad. Yeah,
inflammatory.
Inflammatory about history, probably. I mean, maybe Hercules is in there. I don't know. But these two boys kind of meet and there's instant kind of connection and things. And so this is sort of their dance in learning who they are. We have Elio, the 17-year-old son of the professor, in his hometown, kind of dealing with normal, you know, teenager romances with the girl next door. And he is working on composing his music that summer. And then we have Oliver, who is there for a 6 weeks of kind of time to work and finalize his book and be intellectual.
Only 6 weeks.
Only six weeks.
It seems like so much longer.
Everything that happens.
So that's kind of where we start with our two little star-crossed lovers.
They're he's wanting to do his
Yeah.
Thesis. He wants to compose music. What keeps them from doing that?
Well, really, it's that they're on this short notice. Mm-hmm. You know what? They, at this point, Elio has never really had an experience with another man. He has had a spark and connection with someone in the past. So he's thinking this might be something that I want to do, but he doesn't really know himself yet. He's still wondering, am I gay? Where is my sexuality? What do I want? How do I want to be exposed to this? And so his struggle throughout this book is first off deciding if he wants to explore this opportunity. And then after he comes to that realization, how he actually gets that to happen.
And not only that, but like, is this reciprocal?
Yes, they have a lot of
ask.
And they don't, you know, so a lot of this book is really talking about the interplay between the two of them as they're feeling out the mutuality of their feelings and how each of them wants to explore this.
Yeah.
It's a lot of obsessive behavior, I think, where Elio is obsessing.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, that's almost the whole book is obsessing about Oliver.
And I think part of it, like when you kind of come into this theme of Call Me By Your Name, it's they're discovering themselves in each other. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of this is tying back into, it's easier for each of them to love these things about themselves through loving the other person. So then by loving that other person and then seeing themselves in that other person, they're learning to love and accept themselves.
So it kicks off and the entire book is told from the perspective of Elio.
Yes.
The 17-year-old, deeply intellectual child, where you can tell that intellect is really highly valued in his family and especially by his father. There's a lot of high expectations there. So he initially feels pretty irritated by Oliver when he shows up as this like casual lazy American who would say later
and kicks him out of his room. Like he has to
well,
get up
that's the
room.
Tradition every year. Like he knows that's part of it. But yeah, he's just annoyed by he's supposed to be intellectual and he's just so casual about everything. But he's also kind of obsessed a little bit and he starts tracking like his every move from how he speaks to like the color of his swim trunks and based on the color, what that means for how he's behaving that day. Like he's like intensely observant.
Yes. And they strike up an interesting friendship in the beginning. They go on runs together. They're swimming together, find kind of a pattern in a daily basis with each other. And during one of these times, they're on a bike ride into town and Elio is developing this obsession with Oliver, and it becomes stronger and stronger every day that they're together. They're on a bike ride into town, and they stop at a war memorial. And they have like a kind of a coded conversation about a 16th century story. And Elio confesses, "If you only knew how little I know about the things that matter." Oliver understands this to mean the things are him. Mm-hmm. And it sort of shifts their little friendship that they, and the little kind of routine that they've been in.
Yeah.
It's a little scary, I think, for both of them.
It is.
To they realize have... that there's an attraction going on.
Well, and they, and you can tell that they're scared of it because they have this little dance that they do at this stage of the relationship where they'll like get a little close and then one of them will kind of freak out and pull away for a couple of days. And then finally, this kind of accumulates in the fact where, oh gosh, it was Elio who finally leaves a note for Oliver underneath his door that's basically like, I can't stand this silence anymore. He's like, I'm finally to the point, I need to learn this about myself. And so Elio has kind of made a decision in his head that come hell or high water, even if he decides that he doesn't want to do this, it's going to happen. And so they have their first physical encounter. And I kind of don't know what to think about it. Like, I think that Elio is, Elio first decides he's going to pretend that he didn't like it and that it was bad and that he wanted to like, oh, that was a bad mistake. I regret it. I'm just going to go off and, you know, date the girl next door. And And then Oliver doesn't let him get away with that.
Yeah, it's funny, this push and pull, and like the, just you can feel how confused they are. Yeah. Well, especially Ilio, being the younger, like he tries to date a girl off and on, and then he abandons her off and on, and yeah. he sneaks in Oliver's room, and he tries on his clothes, and he comes in his bed and leaves it there, and I mean, he does a lot of odd things, but it's his sexual tension is just everywhere. Absolutely. And he pushes it and he spreads it everywhere.
Yeah, and this is also
into everything. That's a lot.
Moving to the country, gonna eat me a lot of peaches.
Peaches. I can't look at a peach the same.
In this like push and struggle, yeah. And you know, pushing desire and acceptance onto the other, mm-hmm. and then accepting it into yourself by seeing it in them and then bringing it into you. They really start this ritual of enmeshing themselves, yes. into one another. And that's where they're like, they call each other by their own name. It's sort of like, you are me, I am you. We are one. Yeah. We understand each other. And I think it's because they're trying to look for themselves, and it's easier for them to accept things about themselves, seeing it in the other person, but they want to own it for who they are and almost themselves. Saying,
I love you.
Yeah.
And I love myself at the same time.
Exactly.
And it's okay.
I can be who
That's
I
kind of
am
what I
with
got
you.
Out of it.
That's what
I thought it was pretty profound, because I think up until that point, and I think the author made a point of doing this, I don't think that we knew Elio's name. He didn't say it.
True.
Nobody referred to him as Elio. And so at
that's
that moment
true.
When his name is revealed, it felt very like profound to
That's
me.
That's true.
I was like, wow, okay, yeah. I see you. And
he is finally seen as who he is identified, mm-hmm. as a human being. Great pickup, Lisa.
Well, I may be wrong, but I was just like, huh, I really didn't know.
Well, that's
that
how it should
really
have been written.
That, yeah.
Yeah. It should have been written that way if it wasn't.
I
that's
think
brilliant.
He did. Andre, and if you didn't do it that way, well, that's my suggestion for an edit.
For the remake.
Just didn't recall it knowing his name up until that point. So, you know, they're sneaking around like balcony to balcony. And, you know, parents know everything.
Well, his dad's pretty awesome.
His dad's pretty cool. Yeah. So, you know, it's 6 weeks goes by really quickly. And the parents sense that, you know, there's something going on. And they think, you know, as a farewell trip, they send them to Bergamo for the last 3 days in Italy. So they have total freedom because they're strangers in an unknown place.
Yes.
And, you know, in this, and he's from a pretty small town where their family is very well known.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I know how it is for our kids growing up in a small community.
Yeah.
They couldn't walk down the street without somebody calling and tell me about it.
Oh, yeah, you're like, your kids tried to hold someone's hand. You knew.
Yes,
you knew by the end of the day.
There
before
were spots everywhere. But in this little unknown town in Italy, they finally had that freedom to just kind of explore, whether it be, you know, dancing on the street, experiencing beautiful waterfalls.
Yeah. They have
late night dinners.
It seems like a really magical time for them.
Mm-hmm.
Very in love.
Yeah.
And
it was electric.
It was.
Yeah, and exploring passion. And
they were with a very accepting group of people who
artists.
Celebrated.
Poets.
Who celebrated with them.
They're,
you know, like,
life.
Oh,
they're celebrating life. And they're having so much fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I love that. Like, both Elio and Oliver are very artistic as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because Oliver's a writer. Elio's a musician.
Yeah.
And I just think it gives you another. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, Oliver's internship ends and he must return to the United States.
Yeah.
And so this is where their relationship turns again, and they're mm-hmm. forced to confront whether their love can survive the real world outside the summer bubble. Or if they must return to their separate lives and the roles society expects them to play. It's really a tough place for them to be in, because, you know, I don't know if they're even know Oliver, I don't know, like, do they like the same sex? They certainly like each other,
mm-hmm.
but what does that mean?
Yeah.
Does that mean that they should be together, or is that not okay? Do they need to be with opposite sex? Do they?
Yeah, it's kind of new to them.
Yeah, Oliver has a girlfriend in the United States. Back to her, and
wasn't he engaged even?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, so what do you do? Yeah. What do you do then when you finally see and are with someone that you feel more yourself and more connected, and you understand yourself being with this person more completely than you've ever felt in your life?
But it's 1983.
But it's 1983, mind you, and the world's not super accepting to any of those types of experiences. So do you just say that was a beautiful moment? This is just maybe the right love, but the wrong time and place, and just move on your way and, you know, start your life, go with the girl next door? Or do you take a chance and, you know, take all the risks and say, screw it and go for it?
Yeah. And well, risk your, for Oliver, he's building his career and his reputation.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the risk, do you feel like the risk for Elio was as much?
No, I don't, because Oliver? I think that Elio's dad was really supportive.
Yes.
And I mean, Elio's dad got them a fancy sex pad. Because I think he understood what was happening.
I mean, yes, he did.
And he actually later went and
had a very nice bathroom.
Yes.
I'm sorry. We talk about peaches. I couldn't believe the bathroom scene.
Yes. There's multiple scenes that were hard for us to digest.
Yeah, can we digress here for a second about this sexuality?
Oh my God. I just took it there.
There's a lot of digestion.
Can we digest some peaches right now?
Okay, okay. I mean, so one thing that
haven't read the book or watched the movie, you don't know what we're talking about.
Okay, so
we might have to share.
When I very first moved in with my now husband, and I grew up in a home that was like, there was two bathrooms, one on the main level, one on the lower level, 5 kids within 7 years. And for whatever reason, our bladders synced. So if one person had to pee, so did the other person. We usually had it worked out, like,
yeah,
and it was always my sisters, so it was like, fine, whatever, usually my sisters, but it's like, you know what, there's a bathtub over there, there's a toilet over here, you can stand and do your, I gotta pee, no big deal.
Or, you would pee in the bathtub?
Totally, you just like squat over.
Oh,
and
really?
When you have to go, you have to go when you've got a bladder the size of a peach.
Dude.
So, there's a name, sorry. Or there was one time where I was like, you know what? I'll take back toilet. You take front toilet. And we'll be fine.
Or you could just, one of you could hold it for an extra, like, 20
seconds.
Your
bladders are so in sync.
Well, you're probably littler than, like, full grown adult.
Yeah, you're
so
little
you're
things.
Kinda like,
you're literally straddling the toilet. Your feet aren't touching the floor.
I can totally take back toilet. You both can share toilets.
I remember I was like, okay, I'm about to pee. And my little sister's like, all right, let her rip. And I'm like, oh my gosh, my pee's going to hit your butt. And she shoved her off the toilet. And then she peed all over the floor.
Your poor mother. Did she have to clean up, or did you guys clean up?
Cleaned it up. I was responsible enough.
Yeah, I mean, the dental bill was like.
No, there were no broken teeth.
Good thing that your butt didn't get some pee on it, because, you know, those two front teeth.
Oh, there was room in front of that toilet to shove her out of the way. It was harmless. But, like, just like my idea of, like, the privacy in a bathroom was, like, non-existent. That's what I grew up with.
I have a feeling that Brad had a very different perspective.
So, Brad, like, I mean, they had their own bathrooms. So I didn't share. And we're like very first living together, and he's in brushing his teeth, and my little peach sized bladder is like, time to go. So I go in, do my business. He's like, what's happening? What are you doing? I'm just peeing. It's like,
yeah,
you know, like, no big deal. We do everything together. But he was like, not having it. He's over it now. Cause I'm like, you've got to get over stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was pretty shocking to him.
I shock my husband all the time. Like, he is so much more considerate. He's the same thing. Like, that poor man, like, I'll be like, la, 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 go in, sit down. And then my problem is that, like,
Are you courtesy flushing along the way?
Like, well, the problem is that I think I'm just going to pee. But every time I go, like half the time I go pee, I end up pooping too. I'm just like, I don't know. Valerie, I am full of shit.
5 to 7 times a day. It's amazing.
I think if anybody had that digestive system, that is amazing.
You're very active.
I have a very, and you know, and it's like all good. It does what it's supposed to do, but I'm full of shit. And I personally like, I should invest in toilet paper companies because I use so much freaking toilet paper.
A bidet. Let's be more earth friendly.
That's probably more earth friendly. Yeah. Like COVID was real for me. The toilet paper. But anyway, so these guys.
But why I'm bringing this up?
Well, I think if you're having
so enamored by each other that they just want to explore everything and appreciate everything about each other's bodies, including what goes into it and what comes out of it. Yeah. So, I mean, they do. They do explore that. It's not like they're crossing swords and like strings or whatever.
No,
like,
they're just analyzing each other's poop.
Yeah. Legit.
Yeah, watching, massaging bellies so one can poop, but you know,
and appreciating like the joys of pooping together.
Okay,
and
I'm like, so they also have some body fluid and defecacy. They have some fetish that they share.
Well, yeah. Even Elio gets really sick from drinking so much, like Oliver encourages him to throw up. Just throw it up. Yeah. He also analyzes his throw up too.
He also helps him by sticking his own finger down his throat to help him puke all over him. Yeah, and then they kiss right afterwards.
But
they do.
I don't puke.
Yeah, they have a fetish, and it's a little bit like.
I wonder if this was meant to show like how close they've gotten.
I did wonder. I was like, this feels.
It's not just like they are enmeshed they're more than just having sex or in, I feel like it's even goes beyond like even a relationship
it's symbolic for them.
I mean, I always say, you know, somebody loves you or you love someone, you can fart in front of them, but like, I mean,
thanks
they took
loving
it.
Us.
I don't know.
Welcome. I do love you guys.
I can fart in front of you guys. But it's just new relationships that are weird.
Being able to poop in front of somebody is like next level, like it may be borderline obsession.
Yes, maybe. Because, you know.
So my husband still won't poop in front of me.
No, I don't think that's a. I don't think
he
that's weird.
He doesn't love me.
No, it's like, the farting. It's the farting that's fine. Like,
farting, I have to say, farting's fine. Pooping can you can do it or not. Like, I think, take it or leave it.
Poor man. No. He's so much classier than I am.
I mean, because, really, like, let's just say you're in a small hotel room and you have to poop. And it's really, you know, you're in a small studio little thing. You've got to.
We actually, like, we have a, I don't know if it's an unwritten rule or maybe it's like an explicit, it's explicit. If we're staying in a hotel room where there's like, you know, you've got your two queens or whatever size beds and two in each bed with a family of four, somebody's got to drop a dookie. Like, you go down to the main lobby and you take care of business. Like, you're not stinking up the hotel room for everybody.
Wow.
Like, that's our rule.
How old were the kids when you started that role? Teenagers? Seriously, your 7-year-old had to go down by himself to the lobby?
No, you'd walk with them.
You're like, okay, put on your shoes. Yeah. Put on your pants. Let's get it all.
My kids were little. We were still so poor. Like, I don't know that we were staying in hotels all that much.
Wow.
It's a big thing. Yeah.
That's impressive. Never had that issue.
I mean,
that's just how conscientious.
We had one bathhouse, and I was the youngest of five. So, like, I'm sorry. Yeah. You were brushing your teeth next to that because everybody was getting ready at the same time.
It's
disgusting. But I never looked at their poop and analyzed it.
Never massaged.
And then don't flush. I want to see yours. I never ate a peach.
And you're just going to have to read the book because we've dropped that so many times now, haven't we? We've dropped that.
Yeah. I want to get it out of my head. Like, just can't. But I think in this situation, I think it was really, it was a kink on their part, but it was written into this story for the purpose of symbolism. Yeah. So it you just have to appreciate it as the symbolism of them becoming right. each other and accepting themselves through.
So I guess like the point, like we wanted to make it a point that how much and deeply they cared for each other, because his parting, leaving to the United States, like this is a big loss, and it's what do you do?
Well, and here's one thing that I think is interesting.
And what can you do at that age?
Absolutely. I think that in this novel, you get more insight mm-hmm. that we're not going to talk about later. But I think that a lot of the unexpressed about the emotional connection of the relationship, mm-hmm. they don't discuss that and the intimacy of the emotional changes that are occurring to these characters in a girl, let's talk it out. Let's like sense. It's expressed through physicality. Yeah. And so I think that, you know, like this was kind of a weird fetish thing, but the reason it was incorporated into the novel was for the symbolic and the symbolism of it. And one thing that I had a conversation with my husband about this, because I was just like, I think as a female reader, I'm a very physical person. But even that said, as far as like my love language, it's not my primary love language. But most men, physical touch is one of their top two primary love languages. Yes. And so I was just like, God, you know, why? Like, I keep noticing that when I read man-to-man love stories, that it is so highly physical. And I'm like, dude, this is just a fuck book. But it's not.
But that is the expression of love that men are most comfortable sharing.
Exactly. And so I had to learn that a little bit. And so I was just like, I had that aha conversation with my husband, because I was just like, and my husband's looking at me, he's like, well, you know, I'm really a physical guy and you seem to be a physical girl. And I'm like, yeah, but that's still not.
I'm a physical guy. You're a physical girl.
Let's get physical. But for me, I was just like, oh, so that's when I really realized the reason that fetish was written into the story mm-hmm. was for the symbolic reason to help mm-hmm. bridge that gap, to express the emotional connection.
Everything your body physically does is attractive to me.
Yes.
I love you that deeply.
And also I love discovering myself through you and with mm-hmm. you.
Yeah.
And being honest, like it is what it is. Like I am stripping away all, like there's no barriers. There's no pretending it's something that's not. That's your shit. This is my shit.
Literally. So yeah, it was symbolic. Yeah. There was a lot of symbolism in this book.
There was a lot of symbolism.
And it was actually really well written in 3 months.
Very well
written. Way to go, Andre. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that they have much of a choice.
Yeah.
He's got to go back to the United States. He's still a 17-year-old young man, and he still has a senior year of high school.
Yeah, which is just crazy.
And I have to say, the age barrier did kind of like ick me out a little bit, just because a 17-year-old and a 24-year-old is as mature as Ilya was.
Yes.
And even in that time frame, like even if it is the 1980s, that still just felt
too much
for me. I had a hard time stomaching that.
I would have preferred it he just 17 to 18. Like had he finished his senior year, it would have been a little bit more palatable for me.
A year older.
Yeah, but I don't think that this book was supposed to leave a good taste in your mouth.
It was supposed to leave you
wondering. I also think Ilya's age, he was in that moment of not knowing himself yet.
Exactly. Either.
So it was, his age is sort of appropriate for the story.
Oh, yes.
Because he doesn't know himself yet either. He's just discovering these things. Maybe even a year later, he would have had some experiences.
And I felt like Oliver did know himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, I was really, really surprised when it does reveal later on that he was engaged.
Yeah.
That also felt, really?
But Oliver's also, you know, he's a fast mover. Like within the first week or so of being there, he's already sleeping with girls. Yeah. I mean, so it's not he.
And even the young girls that were Ilio's age were throwing themselves at him.
Oh, absolutely. So there was nobody was batting an eye with them sleeping with the same girl. You know, this, they're both sleeping with the same 16 or 17 year old girl. No one's thinking that's unusual.
I think I was a little.
Well, okay. But no, the mom in the story was like, oh, well, she's a good girl. So even though you're fucking her, you know, make sure that the world doesn't see that you're fucking her. Like, you know, a little bit along the lines of, I know you guys are probably, you know, you're hooking up with the girl next door, but remember, she's a good girl. So don't let that get out.
Don't let it ruin her name.
Yes. Yeah. Which is nice that the mom is looking out for that, but the culture didn't bat an eye on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe it's different when in Rome.
No? Well, also, I also think that
maybe first that's where the expression comes from. Yeah. I don't know.
In Europe, there isn't such a stigma on age differentials. But in Europe, you also don't have, you know, junior high teachers dating their students in junior high. Yeah. They'll wait till they're in high school.
That's very thoughtful.
And it won't be the teacher.
I can't help but go back to brain development and just think, well, can someone really be consenting? They really don't understand the ramifications fully.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
What age do most people lose their virginity?
Way before the age of that their brains are working.
Exactly.
And that's why, I mean, it's probably for biological purposes.
It's because hormones are work harder than your brain does at that point. And I think Ilio, when he and Oliver are together for the first time, he does question what he did. He's like, what did I just do? Did I make the right choice? I don't know.
Yeah. And I think at first he was trying to get away from it. And he was like, okay, I'm just going to go back and sleep with the girl next door. And I'm just going to pretend this never happened. I found that out. It's not for me. Mm-hmm. And then Oliver wouldn't let him get away with that.
Yeah.
And then he pulled him back in. And I think that part of that comes down to the whole, like, when they know I am who you are, we are one of the same type. Mm-hmm. And just bringing him back to that grounding. And that ties into the, you know, say my name, call me by my name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But how realistic is this?
I think it's really realistic.
Would these guys ever get together? I mean, do they have a chance of getting together?
I mean, it's a summer romance.
Yeah.
It's a summer fling.
Yeah. Like,
absolutely.
I think about the, you know, Oliver keeps talking about how magical this place is that Ilio gets to live in. And, you know, I wanted to be there, actually.
Oh, me too.
It sounded amazing. Everyone's fighting to have Oliver over for dinner.
And they go on runs and they bike ride to town and they have ice cream. I'm like, yeah, that's I want to be doing that.
And everyone's free and sexual and everyone's having nap time whenever they want it. And naps. I mean, just like.
And I get to play my piano and like that's like.
Yeah, there's no hardship expressed except for that the internal struggle.
Weird to me. I was like, how do they have it so easy?
I know.
Like, what's the logistics of that?
Yeah.
I don't know. They didn't go into that at all, but I was just like.
Have it so easily. Yeah.
But I do think that that can happen. You know, you can find yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look back on your own life, you're like, what was a time when I mean, I even was thinking about this myself. Not that I was in this beautiful place or anything. Mm-hmm. But there are people in your life that you meet at a magical time and for you.
Did you guys ever go to summer camp as a kid?
I didn't. Actually, I take that back. I went to a girls' Mormon.
Yeah. Did you ever do like a business week when you were like, you know, kind of like a little quick, like intense internship, like a business week? Or did you ever do a... Like, were you ever in a play that was just really intense for a short period of time? Any environment, like, or maybe a class, like you did an accelerated, your master's was very accelerated and you guys were tight. Like, did you ever get in a situation where you were just with a group of people in a tight-knit environment where basically you were all just into this thing intensely for a week or two? Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, I didn't even know you, but now we're best friends. For that 2 weeks, you guys like became best friends in a sense, and you have a connection with them that will last forever. You know that when you leave that situation that you're not going to see them again. You're not going to be calling each other every day, checking in, yeah. But you're going to still be like Christmas letter friends. And you could see them 10 years later and you would still be things. I think of like Paige. Like Paige is someone who was in our book club a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I love her. And we were all really good friends while we were together, but then she left our city. And whenever I see Paige, it's like nothing ever passed. Like it could be, it's been 5 years since we've seen each other. It's been, 3 years since we saw each other. And it's just like, we pick back right up, like right where it was. And it's like, oh, we'll be in the nursing home together. And it'll still be like.
Well, and I was thinking about myself. I don't know if this is, it wasn't a short period of time. It was like a couple of years, but there was an intense feeling with somebody at an intense time. So I always go back when I, stories like this too, I'm like, who was that in my life that created this intense, romantic kind of feeling within me that was left it's sort of open-ended, their relationship.
Yeah.
It's never was closed. And so it leaves a longing in both of them, I think, afterwards, because it was a special time. It was a special connection and it was never.
And you're never going to have that kind of a.
Yes. And you always will look back
on time again.
Do you think it was better for them as people to have, that they did have the sexual encounter, that they went as fully into it as they possibly could.
As full as anyone could.
While they had the time. Was it better for them as humans to do that, knowing that at the end of it all, they could lose it all?
Well, I think that, if you've got an itch that you just can't scratch, I mean, does it go away? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so.
But what if you scratch it and then all the histamine goes to the area and it becomes bigger and then you want to dig out it forever? Like if you first get
So when I'm saying scratching an itch, usually people it alleviates the itch.
But I'm talking about that time where you're like, oh, I just got the mosquito bite. And you know, if you don't touch it for that first 5 minutes of itchy, it just disappears. If you rub it a little bit during that first 5 minutes, then it's going to itch you for days.
You're going to want to itch it for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
You're going to remember the intense. Who can't forget how awful and uncomfortable
and how amazing the act of itching feels when you've got an itch.
It's real hard.
Of scratching. I'm sorry. I'm like, oh, that's my peach.
I feel like scratching. If you don't scratch that itch and alleviate something that's just so there.
But I scratch to bleed. And I think these boys scratched until they bled.
But they still want more. I mean, they're still left with a longing that's never quite.
Yeah. And they've got the scars from the scratch marks.
Unless we didn't read the second book. So I don't know that happens.
We have to. I think the resolution on what they end up doing.
20 years, right? Like in the book, it's 20 years before they.
I don't know. We have to see the movie and the book end off in different places.
They totally end at different places. Yes. And we're just stopping it where he goes back to America. There is some resolution and you do kind of get to understand what happens in each of their respective lives. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm a scratcher of itches. But not to the point that they leave scars.
And I have the problem of when I do scratch an itch, I leave a scar.
So I guess we're all unique that way.
Yeah.
I don't know if I really scratched that itch, but I've always wanted to.
Yeah, I wish
you know better.
I wish I would have scratched a little
bit. We could be inferring a lot right now about ourselves. Don't take that for more than just.
She scratches the appropriate amount. I scratch too hard. Courtney doesn't scratch enough.
Oh my God, that could mean so many things. Just, it's an analogy.
people. Yeah. Yeah. We're not saying anything about ourselves personally.
No, no. Or the characters we play on TV.
How long, if, you know, because it's a romance.
Yeah.
Is there really, would their relationship last? What do you think?
It's really hard. Since we don't kind of know, but kind of do.
I'm giving them 3 months, to be honest, just because of the fact that it's 1983. The world's not ready.
Yeah. And
all the things they were doing. I was like, good Lord, this is the 80s.
That's like prime AIDS time. They were taking huge risks.
There was sex going on all over the place.
When? And I didn't look that up. Yeah. AIDS, I remember right as a there, very young child being like, I'm going to solve AIDS. I don't know why I thought I could. And actually, I thought it was going to start with mosquito. I literally believe that with all my heart. Like, I'm going to find some way for that mosquito to suck it out.
Ooh, I like
that.
That's
kind of cool. Yeah. I like the mosquitoes being the good guys.
Well, yeah, mosquitoes really are good.
This is pretty awesome. This is how beautiful, you know, Lisa is. She's like, even the evil mosquito who makes us all itch.
And I was probably like 7 at the time. I'm like, I think I can cure AIDS.
Well,
with mosquitoes.
I think I heard that they have no purpose.
Mosquitoes? They feed bats.
They
do too.
I think
that's
appropriate.
Yeah.
Was it
spicy?
What
do you think, guys?
Yeah.
Habanero. Ghost? No, habanero.
Okay, but once again, I think that this goes down to also the way that men and women differ in the amount of physical expression of intimacy.
They had a connection, an intellectual connection.
I agree.
And that bordered some, you know, emotional. So there was a tie that way before they were overly physical.
Yes.
And I think it wasn't a slow enough burn because they only had 6 weeks. That I think that's what
they
can
push.
Make something go from being a habanero to a ghost level. Like,
I agree.
Just, you have that emotional connection that is really deep.
Yeah. And I think that that's also
and they didn't
something.
Get to do that.
I think that for me, I still like for something to be really, really hot to me, it has to be sexy hot and intimate hot.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a favorite line?
I do. Mine is it better to speak or to die?
That's so funny. That wasn't, okay.
Is that yours too?
Hold on, I have another one.
Well, and why I like that is because we talk about a lot on this podcast about honesty and telling people how you feel and connecting through that, because a lot of the time, and I've just experienced this in my own life, that if you don't say what you're feeling, like things can be misunderstood.
Well, absolutely.
Maybe certain things, like if you didn't tell somebody how you felt and what was going on, they were thinking a whole other different thing. Mm-hmm. So I think it really is important to just tell people how you feel.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that there are times when it will cause sadness and
embarrassment,
stuff like that. But
and you'll
what's
say
the
it wrong
alternative
sometimes.
In a way?
Yeah.
You know?
The alternative is dying, I guess.
Yeah. Is it better to speak or to die? Yeah. And it's the slow death of your inside of not when you finally, like, it's a sadness to be to the point where you aren't even willing to take the risk to share your thoughts and feelings. You've already died on the inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you that's when you die on the inside, when you no longer see your voice is being important or mattering to anyone, then you're already dead.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty profound. Yeah. What, 7 words?
I don't know.
Way to go, Andre. You pack it in.
Yeah.
He does pack it in.
Oh, God. I did not mean anything.
And then he lets it out.
God, that too.
And I think mine was, right now, there's sorrow, pain. Don't kill it, and with it the joy you felt. So I think a lot of the time when we do experience, you know, sadness or hurt, we burn up all of it, you know, like we'll lose all of it. Or even sometimes we will, for fear of the pain that might come, we avoid the beautiful.
Absolutely, we do that to ourselves. My line is long. And I swear to you, I double checked. It's one sentence.
In fact, this is part of the sentence, not even the whole sentence, but wow. Bear with me. Well, you'll see when it gets to the dog part. And I was like, that is love.
Oh my God.
So we might start, but under no condition would we finish. Then we'd shower and go out and feel like two exposed live wires. Live wires giving off sparks each time they so much as flicked each other. Look at old houses and want to hug each one. Spot a lamppost on a street corner and, like it's a dog, want to spray it. Pass an art gallery and look for the hole in the nude. Cross a face that did no more than smile our way and already initiate moves to undress the whole person and ask her or him or both if they were more than one to join us for join us first for drinks, for dinner, anything. I don't know. I thought it just encompassed just the joy of loving mm-hmm. and seeing love in everything around you, wanting mm-hmm. to just spread that joy, the electrical mm-hmm. feeling of it.
Well, and the fact that they're not finishing before, mm-hmm. you know, like the intentional, we're not going to finish this because we want it to linger.
Yeah. We want this to be our life, to have this joy.
Is it ever?
And spread it everywhere. What? I've never peed on a lamppost.
No. Just like edgy, you know.
Are
like,
you sure?
I mean, you know, when you're
okay, maybe.
You know, when you're being playful.
Maybe just once. I know you and your special ways of peeing.
All I know is that when you need a glove, Lisa will give you a glove to wipe your butt.
Or I mean, how do you just, you know, kayaking. End up against
a kayaking? I'm just like, I can pee standing up.
Anyway. And she can, and she does.
Wait, like, wait. I think I'm the only one who hasn't tried the shiwi.
Oh, I didn't. I don't need it.
She has just her kidding. Special
I'm
way.
Kidding. I have to put enough force behind. Okay. Anyway, you know, great lines.
Yes,
great lines. But that was what drew me in. I was like, oh, those dogs and their little lamp posts, and they just want to let everybody know I've been here. I was here.
So. Does this story matter on that
point? I think, and we didn't go into, we just alluded to the fact that the parents were aware and supported them and loved them.
I don't know if the mom was, but the dad definitely.
He and his dad talk in the study. Mm-hmm. And he asks, does mom know? And he alluded that.
Maybe.
Probably no not. Matter what, your mom loves you.
Yeah, that's true.
And I was like, that was profound. And I was. Thought it was beautiful. I think that it matters a lot because it does show that love matters and you don't need to make a big deal out of it.
I
just
agree.
No matter what.
Just
I love you. And yeah. I was happy to see that being modeled.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. I thought it mattered.
And I love that the dad was like, I'm proud of you for exploring you. Wherever that takes you.
Yeah.
I thought that was really genuine.
I mean, there was definitely caring and love and mutual respect with everyone in that, you know, even the way they treated the people who worked for them, you know, it was mm-hmm. just, I just think it was
the
just
community.
How it was just a beautiful way of, I mean, I just loved their life. I wanted to be the exchange student or whatever. I want to be their next one because it was a lovely life. And I think it matters that you recognize your true feelings for other people and things. And you know what? The thing about Elio is he was not going to put that to rest. He had true passionate feelings and he was not going to let it rest. He just kept pursuing that.
I did
time and time again.
Yes. Yeah.
Just swim trunks.
Yeah.
You name it.
But I did think that took a form of bravery. He was just like, I need to know this about myself. And mm-hmm. so I'm going to figure this out and I'm going to commit to learning this about myself. Like, because I know that I don't want to spend my life wondering. And I don't want to feel like I'm an imposter because I'm too chicken to explore this or consider this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's really well done. I loved the characters. I thought they were really well-rounded.
I think so too. Even their insecurities and the way that they expressed their fear was was well expressed. Yeah. Anyway, well, what do we have coming up? Actually, I should say, if you'd like to reach out to us and tell us about your book, request a book or movie review, or if you just want to ask us what we would do in a crazy situation, or if you'd like to tell us your real love story, you can reach us at www.myperfectromance.com, where you'll also find links to all of our socials as well.
And coming up, we are going to be reviewing the movie The Drama, starring Robert Pattinson and Zendaya. We're also going to be reviewing the book Woman Down by Colleen Hoover, which, you know, she's such a popular author. This is like a psychological thriller romance.
And I think it's a very self-expression book for her, too, which is kind of cool.
Yep. We're also going to be interviewing Lindsay Goldstein. She's author of The Gap Year, which is a really fun book. Excited about talking about that and answering some of what would you do? We've got letters come pouring in that we're reviewing and looking at. There's so many good ones. So we really appreciate all those letters. And
we dive deep in on those.
Yeah,
we do. I know. Sometimes, I mean,
so
like.
We can only get to one or two.
I know.
Please keep coming. And if you don't read it, please send it.
Yeah,
back,
you can. Know? Yeah, you can. And send it to us again if you're like, hey, do ours. Because, you know.
Or I really do want your opinion on this. It means a lot to me.
Or you could even send us and say, your opinion sucked. You suck.
No,
and your mom sucks. And your dad sucks.
No,
and
no negative.
Don't listen to her.
No negative. Positive here. Positive podcast.
And then since you are listening to us right now, just go ahead and hit follow. Then you won't miss when we talk about all those awesome books and movies and interviews with authors. And you can go ahead and rate and review us.
Yeah. So, but until then, just keep believing in your perfect version of romance. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this has been My Perfect Romance.
Happy romancing, everyone.